Coming up next, Lemon-Scented Love. Another Saturday night and you're heading out for the big date. You've showered, brushed your teeth, now you're deciding what kind of perfume or cologne to wear. So you reach for the bottle of bug spray? Okay, citronella might not say romance to a human, but that's exactly what it means to the crested auklet. These Alaskan seabirds think bug spray is beautiful, a bug spray they produce themselves. Dr. Hector Douglas, an assistant professor of biology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, discovered the repellent that's also an attractant. Dr. Douglas, welcome to Quirks.
Thank you.
First of all, can you tell me a little bit about these crested auks? What do they look like?
Okay, they're a colonial seabird that lives most of its life at sea, but during the breeding season, which begins in May and lasts until August, they're at colonies. And they're an interesting-looking bird. They're black and gray in color, but they have a very bright orange bill, a long crest of feathers that sprouts from their forehead and droops down over that bill, and they emit this citrus-like scent during the breeding season.
I'm just trying to get a sense of what that smells like. If you have 100,000 birds, what's it like if you go to their colony?
You can actually smell it quite well on days when it's relatively warm and there's not much of a breeze. You can smell it from quite a considerable distance, up to a kilometer. So the smell can be fairly strong.
That's so unusual because any bird colonies that I've been by usually smell, well, quite repulsive, actually.
Well, that's true. I can think of some penguin colonies that have a particular odor that won't go away. But in this case, there's a very interesting odor and relatively pleasant, actually.
Well, where did the idea that they might be producing their own bug spray come from?
Well, I had worked on crested auklets as a biologist with the Fish and Wildlife Service, and I became interested in the scent. And when I was working as a graduate student, I became interested in what the chemical constituents might be. And since it had this citrus-like odor, and certain compounds with the citrus-like odor are repellent, that is what suggested to me that it could be something that would defend against ectoparasites. And ectoparasites are things like ticks, which are a nuisance and can be quite, particularly ticks, are quite abundant, and lice can be quite abundant also in some seabird colonies.
So how did you go about testing the function of this citronella odor that the birds are producing?
What I did was I put concentrations of these chemicals on filter paper in a petri dish, and I measured the movement of ticks over that graph paper. What I noticed is that over time, the ticks had less and less motor control, and actually they were slowing down and losing control of their appendages. Now, a tick usually requires, once it does find a site where it can affix to take a blood meal, it may require up to 24 hours to bore in. So over that time, you know, the tick within a few hours of being exposed to these surface concentrations that would occur on crested auklets is essentially losing its motor control so that it can't even walk to the place where it would want to get its blood meal. So it does appear that this is a strategy that is effective against ectoparasites, and that is something that would be very beneficial because at some of these colonies in Alaska, we have ticks that carry Lyme's disease, and you've probably heard about the terrible effects that that has upon animals, even human animals. And so if you can anoint your mate with something that is going to be repelling ticks, you've got a better chance that that mate's going to have all of its wits and good foraging skills about it to help raise your chick that year.
Now, where did you connect this natural insect repellent that the birds are producing with romance between the birds?
Well, there is a behavior that's been described by other researchers in addition to myself where we see this conspicuous rubbing of the birds' napes and intertwining of necks. It's very striking. One of the questions, though, of course, is where does this stuff come from and does it have any relationship to that behavior? Because it is, you know, it's been noted that there is a scent on the birds and it's noticeable on the neck feathers. And what I found was that the scent is actually secreted by these small translucent feathers on the bird's back. I call them wick feathers. And the birds rub their bills over those wick feathers. In fact, during courtship, what happens is a bird will, a male often, will solicit anointment behavior by adopting this horizontal posture with the head down and making this little choking call. And it solicits the attention of a female, which rubs its bill over those wick feathers and up over the male's neck and head. And this is reciprocated between males and females. And what happens then is it actually distributes the odor over the feathers of the head and neck. And again, this is an area where birds in general are vulnerable to ticks because they cannot preen themselves.
So how much of an attractant is it then?
Well, when I did experiments with this material, what I found is the birds are very attracted to the substances. I placed concealed chemical dispensers in these foam blocks that I painted to resemble rocks. So they look like rocks sitting on the surface of the colony. And the birds actually approach the rocks, hone in on the scent, and rub their bills over the dispensers, which are hidden in the foam base. And then they will actually turn their bill in such a way as to try and bring their nostrils closer to that dispenser. So I definitely have demonstrated that they're attracted to it. And the more of that stuff there is, the stronger the response I see.
Well, perhaps the insect repellent industry can take a lesson from nature here and produce a repellent that actually smells good to another person.
Hey, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Dr. Douglas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Hector Douglas is an assistant professor of biology at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. And that's it for this week's edition of Quirks and Quarks. Next week, before the Big Bang. Was there something before nothing? If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can write to Quirks and Quarks, P.O. Box 500, Station A, Toronto, Ontario, M5W1E6. Our email is quirks@cbc.ca. And to get to our webpage, just go to cbc.ca/quirks, where you can subscribe to our podcast, sign up for our weekly newsletter, listen to our audio archives, and check out our latest blog. Quirks and Quarks is produced by Jim Hanman, Jim Levins, Pat Sensen, and Zara Lurie, with technical help from Tim Lorimer. I'm Bob McDonald. Thanks for listening.